Hello and welcome to the Untitled Car Show. This is your host, Ike. How y'all doing out there? Thank you so much for listening. Before we begin, remember, this show is brought to you by Right Foot Down. So go check out rightfootdown.com for all your automotive news, reviews, and stuff that you can use. Hey, that rhymed. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. And without further ado, we'll be getting into today's program. Ah, thank you so much, me. Ooh, I'm picking up the levels a little bit. So, how's everyone doing? It's been a little while, as you can probably tell from the record level going on here. So, I want to thank everyone so much for listening, kind of sticking around. You kind of see how many listeners we have left after the hiatus we took part in there. So, we're going to have to adjust. Got a little bit of new equipment, so I apologize for the... I'm just going to have to sit back a little further, I think. So, hold on. All right, that should make it a little bit better for everyone listening. So, thanks so much for everyone for coming to the program today, for keeping me in your queues and all that. It's been, a long time. Probably greater than 6 months since we last talked and spoke, so, or I spoke and you listened. But I like to think of this more as a conversation via me speaking and you writing, which is good at reading. Not so good at writing, as anyone who's read my shit can attest to. So, let me double check and make sure that these levels are coming across okay. Yeah, they seem to be coming across just fine. So, first and foremost, life kind of gets in the way. For those of you who really don't know, because I don't really share the information too freely, but let's just say the day job has been quite hectic. If you've been paying attention to anything, even if you've been trying not to, you'll know that things are kind of crazy in D.C., which is where I work, and that's about as far as I can go into that. But that being said, ooh, that was peaky. Oh, I don't like this new software. Anyway, that being said, beyond that, if it was just purely day job and stuff like that that was causing the issues, it wouldn't be quite as difficult as it's been. So my wife, I know I had talked about this a bit, was in a graduate program. She's got her degree in nurse practitioner. She passed the state boards. We're on the other end of all that, which makes it a lot easier. And my daughter has some issues, and that's something where it was just life was there. It was not getting in the way, but priorities had to be managed and taken care of. I want to thank the guys over at Right Foot Down for kind of letting me go into a bit of hiatus. I put out some stuff video-wise, you know, working on the Fiero, trying to get that up and running. If you haven't seen those, just go to the YouTube page, Untitled Car Show. Check that out. Not really great professional quality stuff, but stuff that I've been happy to do and work on and put out there just because that's the thing that's kind of been keeping me sane. So we're looking at probably doing more solo episodes coming up. What I would like to do is I want to create a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, the recorder, the podcaster. There's a lot of podcasts I listen to. I go out and I try and pull in, you know, good ideas and kind of cast aside the bad ideas. And one of the things I'm really interested in doing is I want to do a kind of quasi call-in segment. So I want to know what everyone listening thinks about this. So I'll, if you listen to my show, I'm sure you are aware, at least tangentially, of the Team Clear Coat guys. They have a, you know, crisis hotline, call in, listen, or leave them a voicemail, and they can respond to that. I love that. I think they're the perfect guys for that. I want to do something a little along those same lines, but more, I'm just curious if you have a topic you want me to talk about, if you have a thought, an opinion, an idea, feedback. This medium on the internet is a little weird because it's a lot less, like, I'm recording this now. You have no idea when it was recorded. It could have been recorded now, it could have been recorded a month ago when you're listening to it. And because of that, there's not a lot of direct interaction. So what I would like to do is I would like to set up a voicemail account, have you call in, leave topics, opinions, ideas. I can kind of go over them and be like, okay, here's my thoughts, here's my opinions, here's my ideas on that. I also wanted to do more along the lines of like that sort of stuff, Twitter feedback. So I kind of want to make it a two-tier thing where we kind of talk about stuff we want to talk about, you want me to talk about. I'm going to kind of do more solo stuff, and then that's going to bleed into, so we'll have episodes where it's just myself. We'll have episodes where I bring on guests, and in both of those I want to incorporate listener feedback directly into it. So we can have the guest, you know, hear what you're talking about. I also want to kind of talk about, you know, it kind of sucks to recently, Lee Iacocca passed away, and he was a big influence in the automotive world. You know, he had to do with the Mustang, he had to do with, you know, getting Chrysler back up on its feet. So if anyone's tangentially related, or not tangentially related, if anyone is a car enthusiast, which I assume, unless you're being forced to listen to this in the car with someone who is a car enthusiast, you kind of know, you know, you owe kind of the muscle car thing to Lee Iacocca, and you definitely owe, you know, this modern renaissance of the Chrysler brand to Lee Iacocca with the muscle cars and all that stuff, because he, if not for him, Chrysler probably would have gone away at the very latest in the 90s. So, you know, sad to hear about his passing. There's been a lot of news and stuff going on in the automotive space in the last 6 months. I'm going to try and get through that probably in another episode. This is kind of just a, hey, what have you been up to? What's been going on? Why have you disappeared? And I think I kind of answered a little bit of that in the last few minutes. It is hard to get back into doing this. You realize, you know, how much of your little foibles and whatnot that you, because when you're sitting here, and this is podcasting, talking about podcasts, and when you're sitting down, you're thinking about what you're doing the podcast, you got to pay attention to a lot of mouth motions, try not to pop, try not to filter, try not to leave a lot of dead air. And that's not how a normal conversation works, so it makes it a little difficult. A lot of S's too. So, as a lot of people may know, it's kind of my thinking word. So, damn it. It's fun. So, hey, God, stop. Stop, Mike. It's, can you tell I'm a little rusty? Can that be something that's apparently obvious? The idea being, the great thing about this, though, is I do want to do a shout-out to Steve Leto. He is doing his podcast. He gave me a little bit of a tease when I said, you know, I'm coming back, I'm going to be doing this. He's done something in the order of like 300 and some episodes since basically I've been gone, and that's crazy. He also recently got finished doing DJing at a radio station up in the Finger Lakes of New York. Gotta say, his selection of classic rock was pretty fantastic. I don't know if there's a playlist somewhere where you can listen to what he picked out, but like I said, there was a few songs that I didn't recognize. I was very happy to hear them for the first time listening through the Finger Lakes. I hope he gets a chance to do it again. I loved him in that format. A little different than his normal one, but if you listen to his podcast, you really do get this idea that, oh, this is easy to do, the solo podcast thing. It's not, believe me. Especially if you are unprepared like me and you don't bring in a group of topics that you want to talk about, you're just kind of winging it. It does make it slightly more difficult. So, and there I go doing that again. I did post up, you know, what is, you know, what do you want me to talk about on this episode coming back. Matthew Swartzkes said, which he's got a weird, so it's Scouting for Zen, which is a weird handle, I guess. So there's the Twitter name, and then there's the Twitter handle, which are two separate things. But he said he's always wanted to do a comparison between 25-year imports to see which works best on U.S. roads while still being fun on a daily basis. As someone who's got a little bit of experience with cars being driven on the other side of the road, not even driving them myself, just knowing a lot of people who've had imported cars, daily driving an imported car on the wrong side of the road, you know, wrong side of the car, but on the right side of the road is not something that you really want to do. I really do think if you're going to have a imported car, you're going to, you know, get a Japanese car. That's what I assume he's talking about. You know, your Skylines, your Beats, your Cappuccinos. I like the weird stuff. So like the Vans they have, like the Mitsubishis and all that stuff, or like a AutoZam AZ1, you really shouldn't have that as your daily driver. That really should be something that you kind of allocate to, this is when I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun with it. Especially because a lot of those cars are very small compared to vehicles today. I mean, even my Fiero, which is, it's almost as old as I am, so it's 32 years old now, or older than that, so it's older than I am, so it's 34 years old. I got that backwards. I'm 33. Woohoo. Yeah, I feel old. I've been on this planet for a third of a century. That's crazy. But you really can't take one of those cars and realistically drive around with it if only because of your own safety. Especially if you're driving around a K car. I really wouldn't recommend that. They're small, they're practical. You know, you'd think they would hit all the beats. They're cutesy and fun. I'm just a little concerned about you driving around. That being said, people daily drive motorcycles. And if you're in a place, you know, not with horrendous, it's a step up from motorcycle, but it's definitely a step down from a modern car with the modern safety features. Because the thing about a daily driver is, you know, you might be working long hours, multiple days a week, driving a long commute, and that's not a good thing. If you're working a job that's consistent and you're doing, you know, something fun and you want to make sure you want just something goofy and you got a super short commute, sure, go out and get yourself a Skyline or get yourself a, I'm trying to think, Skyline's kind of the only thing that really jumps out of my mind on the super practical level there. You could get a Beat or a Cappuccino. They're both fairly practical cars. If it's just a commuter car, which if you're a younger listener, I kind of on the tail end of this. So the older people out there are going to be like, oh, okay, I remember, you know, commuter car, that was a big thing in the, you know, pre-90s, like broaching into the early 90s. The commuter car is basically just a small car. The Fiero is a good example to kind of bring this back around to my own personal experience. The Fiero was designed originally as a commuter car, which is something that was two seats, got good gas mileage, and was fairly safe. So the idea being, it can be stylish, but that's not the important part. It just needs to be economical, and it needs to be something that isn't going to be breaking the bank to buy. So the modern equivalent would probably be something like, you know, Mitsubishi Mirage, a Ford Fiesta, the base one, you know, a Spark, maybe a Cruze on the higher end. Even a Prius would kind of, like the Prius C. It's just the cheap, easy to fix vehicle that gets you good gas mileage and gets you to and from work with as little problems as possible. So they don't really make cars like that now. You're not going to see, you know, I mean, not well appointed. The idea being, this is just something that you're going to go from A to B and that's it. Commuting, it's a commuter car. Cars have kind of, they've gotten bigger, heavier, more expensive. So now cars have all had to go to this, you know, bigger jack-of-all-trades kind of deal, which is good and bad. You know, I love my Fiesta ST. It's big enough. You can put four passengers in it if you don't care for one or you got one small one. But it gets, you know, 36 miles to a gallon. It gets you to and from work. But you can also put a little bit of stuff in the back, and it's, you know, it's practical. But stuff like, you know, a Ford Escape, you know, which is the wife's vehicle, it, in theory, would be a commuter car. It's, you know, her daily driver, but I want to call it a commuter car in that sense because it's heavy. It gets, you know, decent gas mileage. It gets high 20s because it's a 1.6 EcoBoost. It's the same motor as the Fiesta ST. It just is slightly detuned. But it's not cheap to buy. You know, those cars are not cheap off the bat. They, you know, yeah, they can fit four other people fairly comfortably. There's a bunch of space, but it's got to also be decent at going off-road. It's got to be decent handling on-road, you know, because it can't roll over because, Lord knows, Ford has issues with vehicles rolling over. So there's not a lot left in that commuter space, which is why, you know, I don't really think, you know, the idea of a 25-year-old import Japanese car, because that was still an idea in the zeitgeist of the automotive world. The issue is that wasn't really a thing in Japan. You got to think about the difference between Japanese roads and American roads. You know, you're driving 100 miles in Japan, you're pretty much halfway through the island. If you're driving 100 miles in America, you've gone on a long commute. So it's one of these things where, like, they don't need the sort of stuff we need. You know, space is more of an issue and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of hesitant about trying to daily drive in one of those. So especially now, because the idea of a daily driver in the States has kind of morphed from something which is purely a commuter and more into a daily driver. You know, you got to, it is kind of weird because, and this is something you don't really understand until you're a parent. You know, you got to do stuff like you got to take the kids, drop them off at school, daycare, preschool, wherever. And then you might go to your job. And then when you get off of your job, you have to go pick them up. You got to take them to appointments, playground, stuff, grocery shopping, stuff like that. The kind of work day in America, you know, you get, or in the general population of the world, has become a lot more interconnected. I mean, there's a lot of people I know who they got to go out and they got to go to, you know, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments on, like, lunch breaks, or, you know, they might have to, like, scramble out of, you know, the job, like, the moment they get the opportunity to, you know, as early as possible to go take care of that sort of stuff. And that becomes a lot more, like, mixed-use stuff, which is why I think the midsize and small SUVs have kind of taken over, because there is a lot of, you know, the world's a lot less, trying to think of the world, the word I'm looking for exactly. The world is a lot less structured now than it was before. You know, in the, you know, before times, before the internet was really a thing, before you had the vast sum of human knowledge kind of compacted into your phone, you had to make phone calls. You had to have, like, a set itinerary and stuff like that in your day, and that was a much bigger issue. You know, if you had to divert from that, like, just getting lost in the past was such a big issue that it was, you know, people had masks and cars, and but, you know, you got to pull over, like, this isn't where it said it was, the address isn't good, oh, this map is from, like, 10 years ago, it's out of date, this is a new road. And, you know, let's say you're going, you know, in the 25 years ago, puts you mid-90s, so we'll just go with mid-90s as an example. You got to go drop the kids off, school, go to work, pick up the kids, and then you're going to go out and you're going to get lumber from like a, but you need like a special type of lumber from, or not even lumber, we'll go with tile from a place. You would have to go, hopefully call up like the local like home improvement place. Back home, there was a place called Builder Square, so we'll go with that. So you're going to call up Builder Square. You're going to go, hey, I need this type of tile. And they're going to go, well, we have tile. We probably sold you that tile, but we can't look it up in the system until you get here. So you go there, you get there with the tile. You're like, I need this. And they're like, well, we don't have that. So you got to go over here to like the specialty shop. You know, call ahead, you call ahead, you get the directions from the Home Depot place or the Builder Square place, and you head over there. And then that's kind of like the highest extent of, you know, where you're going to have to go and kind of like unexpected things. Whereas you might now be able to, if you're internet savvy, you might be able to handle that all online, but you also might be having to hunt down, like, I need this tile and I need it today. So you're at work, you're doing your job, but you're also, like, in the back of your mind trying to find any of the tiles from this place. I called up the local place. They don't have it. This place doesn't have it. We called the specialty shop. We found the specialty shop. It's, like, down this dirt road and, like, around the corner, and you just need to get there. So you really need a vehicle that can handle all that sort of random adventure stuff. So as car enthusiasts, too, I'm sure you're aware, like myself, I drive a Fiesta ST. I've got, man, I'm a dumbass. I've picked up two motors in a Fiesta ST, which is the dumbest thing. Damaged the back of the car a little bit, pulling one out without the crane. Finally went out and bought a crane. But bought the crane, put it in the back of the Fiesta ST. If I had a commuter car, that's not happening. Commuter cars, you know, grocery getters was a thing back then. Like, well, you have your commuter, and you have your family car slash grocery getter. And that was kind of the dedicated, you know, we used to have, back in my day, there were gender roles. Not really, but we were moving away from that. But there was this idea of like, well, you have the small car for gas mileage, and you got the large car that kind of goes out, gets groceries, gets supplies, and gets stuff like that. And those have kind of been morphed into one vehicle as the daily driver, I guess is the way to put that. So, I mean, but part of that's cars are too expensive. You can't, if you're living where I live, so apparently Maryland is the highest income state in the union. I forget where I saw the study. It was on the Facebook, so I'm sure it's accurate. Might have been on Google where I saw it. But anyway, so, but like cost of living here is crazy, buying houses. You know, your average house price in Maryland is somewhere close to, you know, $400,000, and you're not getting a lot, and you're not getting a lot of space with that. And heaven help you if you're buying, like, in a city somewhere, you're not getting a garage, and you might be getting a parking space. Or if you're a leaser or a renter, which is more common now, really, one vehicle is probably going to be the most you can do. So if you're a one-vehicle person, stay away from the import, I guess. We kind of like shot that down, but, you know, this brings me to another point on this whole kit and caboodle. The wife's escape, when we recently had an issue where Ford has swelling of lug nuts, which is causing an issue with, you know, you can't take it off with the socket wrench that's in the back of the vehicle. So if you get a flat tire side of the road, you're screwed. So, being dual diligent husband, I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get new lug nuts. I'm going to get a special lug nut wrench. It's a 19 and a half diameter socket. Goes on, takes them off perfectly. Great. I did 3 out of 4 wheels with that. No issue on any of them. I get up to the last wheel, take off the lug nuts, not having an issue. Go to put on the new lug nuts, and one of them just goes in and starts spinning before it's tight. I'm like, well, that's not good. Go to take off that lug nut, see if I can look at the studs. As I'm trying to take off those, two more of them just start turning. They're not tight. Like, the stud is just not tight in there. I'm like, oh, great. This isn't good. So I go, all right, well, let me pull this off. Let me get a look at those studs and see if there's anything I can do. Go to try to look at the studs. It's impossible to look at them. They're all, it's very tight in there. I'm like, all right, I'll be Mr. Good Husband. I try not to do work on the car that the family kind of relies on, which is the Escape. So I'm like, I'm just going to, it's Sunday, the wife, or that wasn't Sunday, I'm sorry, that was another incident. It was Thursday. The wife needed the car, you know, Saturday she had some stuff to do. So call up local tire place, hey, can you just fit me in today? I'm like, yeah, we'll get you in. Come on down. We'll start looking at the car tomorrow. It's late in the day. All right. Get the car there. They get it up to take a look at it. Oh, my God. Come to find out the next day, I was expecting like $100, like maybe, yeah, it's $100, maybe like $150, you know, 5 studs pushed into a, you know, wheel hub. Nope. It was, as near as makes no difference, $650. And the issue is, so the hub and the studs are one set assembly, which is maddening to me, but it's apparently not uncommon. So it's a Preston hub, which makes it an extra pain in the ass for the DIY guy. Unless you have a press or you got the right tools, that's hard as hell to do. And something I would not feel comfortable doing on the car that we go on long family road trips in. So take it, call up Ford warranty people, which the hub is built into the powertrain warranty of the vehicle. So call them up, ask them, you know, I'm looking at the pamphlet, you know, it's one set assembly, is it covered? And they're like, well, you have to have a technician look at it before we can verify that it's usable. So, okay, well, it's sitting at a dealer, or it's not sitting at a dealer, it's sitting at a store. Can someone just swing by? No, that's not how it works. But you do have complimentary roadside assistance. We'll go pick it up and drop it off at the closest dealer. All right, figure, you know, what's the harm? You know, $100 to put it on there if it, they don't cover it, and then ship it to the local Ford place. So, like I said, I got an estimate from the local place. It's saying $650. Call up the local Ford place. I say, okay, if I can get this to you today, you know, well, what is, and that was $650 for it to get done today. What is the quickest you can look at the vehicle? This is like the end of June. It's like June 27th. They said the quickest we can look at the car would be July 19th. Like, okay, that's not going to work. Like, what if it's not covered and we're out, you know, because that would be rental car expense. That would be putting on the tow truck and it would be fixing it because now it would have been sitting there for a month and we'd be out a lot more money. So that was fun. Called up a couple other dealers in the near area. Finally called up a guy at the dealer I always take my car to. So we bought our cards. I'll give him a nice little plug here. So if you're in Maryland, I always buy my cars from Apple Ford. It's in Columbia, Maryland. If you're going to buy a Ford, which I may not recommend after this point. My wife and Ford just don't get along, and I think that's a big thing of, if you're a big brand person, if you're a person who doesn't get along with the brand, don't buy that brand. I think there's cars are built in a way where it works for some people and doesn't work for others for whatever silly reason. I got another story I'll explain, but I'm going tangential. So I call up, you know, Apple Ford. I'm talking to the guy, and I go, okay. You know, I trust the guy I'm talking to there. I say, is this going to be covered? Just going to give you the broad details. You know, it's probably from the swelling lug nuts. You know, the hub came apart. You know, this is not, obviously not normal wear and tear. Is this something Ford will cover? And he comes back and he says, is the mileage over, you know, basically 40,000 miles? I said, yeah. He says, no, it's not going to get covered. Like, he's seen a few vehicles where that's happened, where it's been covered, but can't guarantee it'll get covered, you know, obviously over phone, but more likely than not, in his professional opinion, no. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take that risk then. You know, they could see me a little earlier. They could look at it that day, but I'd still be out a lot of money if it was, you know, not fixable, because it would have been towed there, and then it would have been dropped off and be stuck there, and I'd be out whatever that dealer wanted me to pay for that part. So that was fun. So I call back the local tire place or local auto place, say, hey, just do it. Go pick it up, $650. And of course, they forgot to put the ABS ring back on the vehicle, which means all sorts of traction control issues, everything. It was like such a close call trying to get the wife into the car by the time she needed it, on the day she needed it. But they did manage to work it out, get the vehicle fixed. It's sitting, she's actually gone off to her job. But it's sitting there in that garage and it's working perfectly, which is fantastic. But back to the, you know, the hub on that thing, it doesn't get along. The hub broke. When we bought the vehicle, was having brake issues. You know, the lug nut swelled. She's had just bad luck with like cracks and chips in the windshield. And she just doesn't want another Ford at, you know, the near term, which I totally understand and get. The reason I go, well, there's some brands that people don't get along with. My family growing up never had great luck with Toyotas. The best example I have is my parents bought a 93 Toyota. And I remember by the time, it was 91 Toyota. I can't remember, 93 or 91. But anyway, like one of the earliest memories I have really relating to cars is the vehicle broke down. Camry, manual transmission, manual windows. It had a radio. It didn't have a clock. Like, this was purebred Camry, get you from point A to point B. And it was just awful. And it just broke down and had all sorts of issues. And I remember my dad having to push it into the local Jewel, which is a grocery store parking lot, cursing at the thing. And then my mom came, picked us up, and took us home. And that's really the last time I remember that car. And then after that, we got into a Ford Taurus, and my dad kept that Ford Taurus for forever. And then he got a new Taurus relatively recently. So I'm trying to remember. Was that the Taurus? Pretty sure that was the Taurus we got there. There might have been a car in between. It's hard to kind of like keep track because I had a fair bit of cars back then. And that's really before I really gave much of a shit about cars, which is a little, you know, sad. There was, you know, my dad likes cars. My dad hates working on cars, though, which I'll never understand. He'll work on the house. He'll work on the yard. He'll work on, you know, everything and anything that he probably shouldn't be working on. But when it comes to cars, he just doesn't touch them, which is weird because my brother and myself love working on cars. Don't you dare put me in the yard to have to do any yard work. I hate that. And then there's, you know, I'll do stuff inside, but I like to tinker, but I don't like to be covered in bugs. Bugs suck. That's going to be a t-shirt. Bugs suck. So we're looking at other vehicles for her, and I'm curious if anyone's got any good suggestions out there. Maybe this would be something to open up the hotlines. I'll put out a tweet. That's the best way to follow me, figure out what's going on. But you can tweet me suggestions at Untitled Car Show until I get the hotline up and operating. But we're replacing the Escape. We're going to get her something more fuel efficient and more upscale from there. So, needs to have, so kind of the preferences, and this is where I'm a bit out of my depth. It needs to be Japanese. So, you know, something Toyota, something Mazda, something Honda, you know, maybe a Korean car, we'll see. Well, you know, one of the Japanese brands, Lexus, Acura, doesn't matter. It needs to have Android Auto, and it needs to get good gas mileage. And beyond that, we're kind of like open to suggestions, which is good. And then the other thing we want to get is we want to eventually get a big SUV to kind of become the vehicle for me to haul around stuff, to move things from place to place. This is a little further down the line. But big SUV to haul around stuff, haul around people, and tow stuff. I was thinking my preference would be a CX-9. I really love the CX-9. It doesn't need to be able to tow a whole hell of a lot. I'm not towing around boats. What I'll probably be doing at the most is putting a car on a dolly and towing it home. But we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. This is something that's going to be happening over the next few years as we kind of get a life turned in the direction we want. We're kind of we went around the chicane. You know, we made it. We're coming down to the home stretch. We're reaching the goals. We got a few more things we need to kind of like look out for, but everything seems to have been like calmed down to the point now where I can get back into doing this. I really do find it very copacetic. Even if we've lost 99% of the audience, even if I'm just talking to the ether, to be perfectly honest, this is just so de-stressing. So it's satisfying. It's good for my stress. It's just such a good thing to do. And I do really enjoy coming on and kind of sharing my thoughts with everyone. You know, here's what's going on. Here's what I like to do. And I really do want to make this more of a two-way conversation. So please watch, you know, the Anton Car Show on Twitter. If you want to see my stupid face, you can go on to the internet. So you can go to YouTube's and type in Untitled Car Show, and my stupid face should show up. There's a lot of Fiero videos out there. If there's any topic or anything you want me to cover and kind of like talk about, please get on there, type it in, push it out, and I will be happy to talk about it. And beyond that, you know, this is just kind of a good trying to get back into the swing of things. We're going to kind of do this a little shorter than a lot of the past episodes. What the plan is, I'm going to try and be putting out at least one a week. Probably close to Wednesday. This is probably going to be the new release schedule. Maybe a weekend release. We'll kind of see. Weekend releases tend to get more traction sometimes than weekday releases because if you're like me, you go out and you have like, you know, I got like, here's my time. I'm going to go out, I'm going to go to the garage, I'm going to de-stress, I'm going to tinker around the car, and I'm going to listen to some stuff I want to listen to. And that's weekend releases. And a lot of people do it mowing the lawn, doing stuff like that. And I just hope if that's what you want, then let me know. If you want a weekday release so you can kind of pick it and choose it when you want it, I might try to aim for two. That's very ambitious at this point, but that's kind of where we want to be. So thanks, everyone, so much for listening. I really do enjoy that you listen. I really do respect your time. And, you know, this has been 40 minutes of your life that you've not dedicated to me, but given me your ear and your attention. And I always try and do it like when people go, you know, how many people listen to you or how many people, you know, talk or, you know, have been on your show. And it's one of those things where if you fill up a stadium with people, if you fill up an auditorium or even like a gym classroom or even just a school classroom, and you just think about that dynamic of like how nervous would you be standing in front of that classroom, standing in front of that gymnasium, standing in front of that stadium, talking to people, and like how much is their time worth? Because there isn't worth to their time because, you know, they're paying for those tickets, they're, you know, missing school, jobs, work. and you're spending it with me, and I really do appreciate that. And, you know, I try not to forget that, which is part of the reason why I kind of had to go away for a while, because I want to be able to put out good stuff. I want to be able to put out quality stuff, quality guests. And I can't really do that if I'm dedicated to doing other stuff, other very important stuff in the personal life. So thanks, everyone, again, for listening. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Wherever you are, whatever time it is there, thank you so much for listening.